thank you all for coming out this Sunday afternoon in Spanish Fork, Utah. I'd like to also thank those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. Invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emails at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today, our theme is strengthening the inner man. It is astonishing how much an American family will spend on physical fitness and how little time, money, energy it will invest in spiritual fitness. It's amazing how much attention parents give to a balanced diet for a child's physical growth and how little attention they'll pay to the child's moral and spiritual growth. Bread for the body, but no food for the soul. Cultivation of the mind, but none of the heart. There's so much information out there how to take care of our physical bodies. Best way of eating. There are any number of best-selling books on dietary plans and caloric intake. How much exercise and of what type, cardio, aerobics, anaerobics, how many hours of sleep is ideal. And there's nothing wrong with that because after all, the physical body is the tabernacle for the spirit. And it's important to keep the physical body in shape, just like you drive your car. It's important to change the oil, get the service done every 15,000 miles, rotate the tires. Bhagavad Gita tells us, Vasamsi jirnani yata vihaya navani grinati naropanani. The body is like a car, or it's like a coat. You have to take care of it, wash it, dry clean it as necessary, but always be aware that we're not the coat, we're not the body. If you drove here in a Volkswagen, and I came up to you and I said, I'm true, what's your name? And you said, Miss Volkswagen, or Mr. Pontiac, that would indicate an unbalanced state of mind, wouldn't it? And at the same time, if we're asked to introduce ourselves, we introduce ourselves only with reference to this body. I'm black, I'm white, I'm male or female, I'm 5'10", I'm 6'4", I'm 120, I'm 180, I'm Catholic, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim or Jewish. It's good to keep the body in shape. But having said that, you can be good looking, you can be strong, you can be physically fit, you can be on the cover even of Men's Muscle magazine and look great on the outside, but be weak, fatigued, aimless, desperate, and weary on the inside. And isn't so much of modern society like that? Like a lady, she had a bird in a cage, and she was more enamored with the cage than she was with the bird. Spent all of her time polishing the cage, making the cage glisten and shine, but didn't care to feed the bird inside the cage. So while the cage was gleaming, looked in great shape, the bird was slowly starving to death. Krishna tells us who we are in the Song of God, the Bhagavad Gita. Nātu evaham jatu nāśām, nātum neme jana, nācā evaham nibhavishyami. Krishna, God, says to Arjuna, his friend and devotee, never was there a time when I did not exist. Well, if you believe in God, we know that. But then Krishna goes on to say, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these others. God is eternal, and we're created in the image of God. We're like sparks from the fire. Sparks have the same quality as the fire, light and heat. God is eternal, so we're also eternal. And we're not this temporary material body, but we're the living force within this. Some of you who are young have experienced this a lot less than those of us who have been around for a while. Ever routinely bent down in the morning and all of a sudden your back goes out, you pull a muscle in your back, you can't straighten up. The pain goes on for a couple of days until it subsides. And then just a few days later you're reaching up and then there's a pain in your shoulder. You can't lift it for a couple of days. And another day a knee locks up. We've all experienced that. As time goes by, you'll experience it more and more and more often. So the question tonight is, what is it that makes these extremities vulnerable to injury and pain? Your core is weak. Now, there are training programs called Core Fitness. There are yoga schools called Core Power. That's what we want to talk about tonight. If your inner core is not strong, then your extremities will be weak. When you engage your core muscles, it helps you find the strength to get through the day. It helps you find the posture whereby all parts of the body are working together seamlessly, stress-free. Any physical therapist will tell you that if you engage the core in exercises like the plank, like the boat, the nava, like the crow, even sit-ups and push-ups, engage the core. That will align your body, your spine, your hips, and that will prevent injuries to your back and your shoulders. If we make a habit of doing these exercises on a daily basis, find time and space in our schedule to do them, they're going to help us tremendously. However, if you don't strengthen your core, nothing's going to change. You're going to remain weak inside. If you don't work on the core, injuries to the extremities could become more frequent and more severe. Here's a quote from a physical therapist who wrote a book on the subject, Martha Purdy. It's important to build core stability first, and then build core strength. You want to get the deeper muscles working first. When you get a strong core, everything else will fit into place on top of it. Your overall fitness will improve, making you less prone to injury. Even though it's easy to presume that when we're moving, our extremities do most of the work, the opposite is true. Most movement starts at the center and goes outward. A rock-solid center will help ensure that your movements are strong and pain-free. Keeping strong core muscles will help ensure that everything stays protected as you move through your day. And lastly, if your core is strong, you will be hard-pressed not to carry yourself with confidence. A tall, upright person exudes strength. It gives the impression that this person is in control of their life. It really is about working from the inside out. In the same way, the inner core is who we really are. It's our identity. The inner man is meant to control and discipline the outer man. When we have a strong inner man, our outer faculties, like the mind, the senses, the emotion, when they're engaged in core practices of serving the Supreme from whom we come, everything works happily and harmoniously. Someone said, we're not bodies having a spiritual experience. We are spirits having a bodily experience. The problem is we're trying to do everything with our extremities, the flesh and the blood and the mind and the senses, and we're not engaging our inner core. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you want to eliminate unnecessary outer injuries and sufferings of the body and the mind, then allow your inner command center to improve your posture of faith. The Gita says we should control the outer self with the inner self, not the other way around. If you'll engage your core, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you'll walk in health. You'll walk in confidence. You'll walk upright. You'll move forward towards your destiny. Dr. Maxwell Maltz has gained fame through his book called Psycho-Cybernetics. He's worked as a plastic surgeon, and listen how he describes his interest in the human personality. He says, one day many years ago, a woman in her mid-20s came into my offices. She had a deep indented scar on her left cheek, a constant reminder of an automobile accident she'd been in. She looked unhappy with herself and her life. Who wouldn't be in her situation? I asked myself. As a kid looking in the mirror when she brushed her teeth or combed her hair, she saw a perfectly normal face and began to take it for granted. And then after the accident, when she looks in the mirror, she must have thought, gosh, I look awful. I used to have a normal face and now I have two entirely different cheeks. I told her I'd removed the scar and after surgery, she'd look fine again. Don't worry, I said, we'll get you back as good as new. She asked how she would look, and I reassured her and tried to soothe her fears. A week after the operation, she came back. I took the bandages off, handed her a mirror. Her scarred cheek was a thing of the past. Then I waited for her reaction. Many patients are overjoyed when they see their first new, improved image. But her reaction was uncertain. She expressed no real positive emotion. I waited a few seconds, and then I said, well, what do you think? Do you like it? She said, I don't really see any improvement. I was stunned. My surgery had been totally successful. Would you like to see the pictures of your face before the operation? She looked at the before pictures, and then she surveyed the after pictures in the mirror. It looks better, she admitted, but I don't feel better. She didn't feel better because she was not the body. Just think of our everyday terminology. We say my body, my head, my arms, my legs, my cheeks. What does that tell us?
Yes.
It's my body. We don't say I head, I arm, I cheeks, I body. We say my body. So shouldn't that make us think or wonder who is the possessor thereof? Who possesses the body? Fact is that we are infinitesimal spirits. Krishna, or God, is the supreme spirit from whom we emanate. We are constitutionally and eternally parts, and God is the whole. We are defined as the core. We're not defined in terms of the extremities like the arms and the legs and the head. When the spiritual core, which comes from the supreme and which is a part of the supreme whole, serves the supreme whole, that is called yoking, from which we get the word yoga. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. This is an excellent way to begin service, and it's fun. We have five senses. When you do that simple practice of chanting, you engage the tongue, you engage the ears and hearing, you engage the sense of touch and clapping or playing musical instruments, the eyes and looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, and the nose you can smell the incense and flowers. That simple practice. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. That is the beginning of core power, core fitness, core yoga. There are only three elements. Ourselves as parts and parcels, there is the supreme whole, and then what brings it all together is called bhakti, or service of the part to the whole. Jai Krishna sings this verse with his band at the Fest of Colors. When I look into your eyes, I see a shining soul. When I look into your eyes, I see your spirit soul. I wrote a few extra verses to that. Can I have your permission?
Yes.
Okay.
I love
to hear. I see a soul that's never born, a soul that never dies, that yearns to go back home, back to the spiritual sky. From dust you come, to dust we go, was not spoken of the soul. This body, like a set of clothes, wears out and gets disposed. A flame of light and love gives life to the machine, a candle never stuffed. Subtle, sublime, unseen. For the soul, there is no beginning. Ending, it has none. Smaller than the atom, brighter than the sun. When I look into your eyes, I see a shining soul. When I look into your eyes, I see a spirit soul. I see a soul that's never born, a soul that never dies, that yearns to go back home, back to the spiritual skies. Mm-hmm. It's up to you whether you want to incorporate those extra verses or not.
Can I get a copy?
They're available, yeah. I wrote them for you. When the inner core serves the supreme in love and devotion, that's core yoga, that's core fitness. When the inner core is connected with the supreme spirit through service, the outer physical body and senses will click into perfect health and harmony. The miseries that we suffer, in fact, are because we're not engaging our core. We're out of control in our speech, always saying things we shouldn't, stressed in our minds, suffering hypertension and high blood pressure, flying off the handle sometimes, short-tempered with our spouse, pushing our children away. We're grumpy on the job. It's like the man, he knew he wasn't his car, but he spent an inordinate amount of time polishing his car, waxing his car, getting those special hubcaps, having a pair of dice hanging from the rearview mirror. You name it, the thing with the extra dual carbs, you know, out the back. He spent so much time with his car. He knew on one level he wasn't the car, but here's what happened. One day he was out driving in his car on which he'd lavished so much of his time and attention, and someone accidentally bumped him. He became totally outraged. He said, "You hit me!" And that's what happens. When we misidentify with the body, we set ourselves up for unnecessary suffering and misery by misidentifying. Here's a story for you. An elephant was standing by the shade of a tree on a beautiful day, eating its leaves. Suddenly, a small fly came buzzing and landed on the elephant's ear. The elephant stayed calm and continued eating, not heeding the fly. The fly flew around the elephant's ear, buzzing noisily, and yet the elephant seemed unaffected. This bewildered the fly, and he asked the elephant, "Are you deaf?" "No," the elephant answered. "Well, why aren't you bothered by my buzz?" The elephant asked the fly, "Well, why are you so restless and noisy? Why can't you just stay still for a few moments?" The fly answered, "Everything I see, hear, and feel attracts my attention, and all noises and movements around me affect my behavior. What is your secret? How can you stay so calm and still?" The elephant stopped eating and answered, "I am inside this elephant's body, but I am not an elephant. I'm the living force within the body. The annoyances to my external body cannot touch my inner core. My elephant's body is only a covering for the inner core. What is annoying to the outer body does not have to be annoying to the soul. Therefore, I've made the choice to ignore outer disturbances, including your buzz." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, writes these words, "People in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna, and they wrongly think that advancement in terms of the outer man will bring happiness. They have no knowledge that the material or external nature is misleading, and that people become quickly and strongly bound up by the stringent laws of material nature. The inner man is happily part and parcel of the Lord, and thus his natural function is to render immediate service to the Lord. Instead of trying to satisfy the outer man, he has to satisfy the inner man, who is the perennial servant of the Lord. The alternative is to be enslaved by the urgings and appetites of the outer body and mind." We've all seen movies where slaves are being dragged through the marketplace in chains. They're pulled and jerked along. There are sores and injuries on every part of their bodies. Their minds are freaking out. They're ugly, awkward, fearful, off balance. Now, I'm here to tell you today there's a huge difference between being enslaved by the senses and being a servant of the Supreme. Being tiny spiritual entities, we're always in a state of dependence. Being dependent on the Lord, who is our Creator, our loving Father, and walking in His steps is going to be a whole lot better than being enslaved by the demands of the senses, mind, and appetite. It is said that service to the senses give neither termination nor a pension. The more you allow yourselves to be dictated to and tyrannized by the senses, the more you become enslaved. The worse it gets. Give the senses an inch, they'll take a mile. I read something on the internet just the other day. It said that the first heroin high is the best one. No other high will be as high as the first one. Every one after that first one is less intense. Down to the point where the addict doesn't even enjoy it. So why are people addicted for years and years, their lives and the lives of their loved ones destroyed? Here's the answer. They're simply trying to re-experience that first high, which by Maya's arrangement will never happen. On the other hand, the first time a neophyte chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and begins to taste actual freedom from the mind, the senses, and the body. In the 1960s, the government spent millions and millions of dollars to free young people from LSD without any success at all. Within a few hours after beginning to chant Hare Krishna under the directions of a bona fide spiritual master, tens of thousands of people became free of LSD. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here's another truth about the inner core. The world is full of tensions, friction and strife, one country to another, one race to another, one species to another. We want brotherhood. That is easily achieved through core power. Your inner core is connected to all living beings. We're one spiritual family regardless of the outer covering. Here's an incredible core power story. 500 years ago, one of the prime disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose name was Haridas Thakur, his constant practice 23 hours a day was chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. He just wanted to go to a place where he could chant without any disturbance. He found a cave that had been co-inhabited by a huge venomous snake. So he lived quite happily with the snake in the cave. But many people wanted to visit him. They wanted to get the association of a saintly person. They wanted some instructions about the nectar of chanting Hare Krishna. But they were scared to go near him because of this big snake in the cave. Haridas Thakur was not at all inconvenienced. He had a core relationship with the living entity in the body of the snake. They got along fine. But Haridas Thakur thought that for the sake of his visitors, for the sake of their spiritual advancement, it would be better if he vacated the cave and took up residence somewhere else. No sooner had he made that decision. And you know what happened? As if to say, no, I don't want to inconvenience you. Let me go. The snake slithered out of the cave, never to be seen again. It's core power. It's not limited, even from species to species. Prabhupada says here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 27th chapter, 27th verse, there are various species of living entities, but a devotee does not see the outer covering. He sees the inner soul inhabiting the body. Because each and every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God, he doesn't see any difference. It's the vision of a learned devotee. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, a devotee does not see any difference between a learned Brahmin, a dog, an elephant, or a cow, because he knows that the body is the outer covering only, and that the soul is actually part and parcel of the Lord. It is further said that the inner core does not live by bread like the outer body. The word of God, the name of God, the service of God are what gives strength to the inner soul. John Osteen used to say, some people feed their outer bodies 3 hot meals a day, but feed the inner man 1 cold snack every week. Our message today is don't be well fed on the outside, but on the inside be weak, fainting, aimless, undisciplined. Real strength comes from the inner man. It is said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Being absolute, there's no difference between God and His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. When you say any bona fide name of God as a daily meditation and practice, we do it this afternoon with music and congregationally, but each one of us individuals has our beads, and we spend time in the morning with God in the form of His holy name, chanting our rosaries. Prabhupada says here, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is enacted from the spiritual platform, and thus this sound vibration surpasses all lower strata of consciousness, namely sensual, mental, and intellectual. When you spend time chanting, you associate directly with God. After associating with Krishna for some time, the narrator of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya, concluded, Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yata Partha Dhanur Jaya Yata Striya Vijayo Bhutya Dhruva Nitir Matamama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, there is joy, there is peace, there is creativity, there is harmony, there is morality, and there is victory. Now, our encouragement today is take it all in when you don't need it, so it will come out of you when you do need it. When you connect your inner core to Him in loving service, you come to know Him not as remote, distant, judgmental. Rather, you come to know Him as your provider, your shelter, your uplifter, your healer. He doesn't see you as the outer man. He doesn't see you in terms of your gender, your skin color, your weight, your height, your religion, your economic status. even your species. He sees your inner self. He wants to work with the inner spirit to bring you up higher. He wants to strengthen your core so you'll become free from misery. He wants to improve your spiritual posture so you'll walk upright in faith and confidence. He wants to make and mold you so that you can live abundantly, joyfully, peacefully, and meaningfully in this life and in the next life. He wants to take you back to home, back to Godhead.